You know, when you picture high-stakes corporate negotiations, you usually think of glass boardrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Power suits, hostile takeovers, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars on the line and executives just sweating across this massive mahogany table.
Right.
But according to this fascinating stack of B2B procurement documents and financial analyses we're diving into today, the most ruthless negotiation trap in modern business is not happening in the boardroom.
No, it is definitely not.
It's sitting quietly in your break room. I'm talking about the office copier.
Yeah, the multifunction printer, or MFP as they call it. It really represents the absolute definition of a silent budget killer, just hiding in plain sight.
It really is.
And, you know, this deep dive is not just about office hardware. We are unpacking the anatomy of an asymmetric transaction. It's basically a masterclass in what happens when a seller holds all the cards and the buyer doesn't even realize they've sat down at the table.
Yeah, and so today's mission is really to expose that massive orchestrated information advantage that these vendors use against buyers, and more importantly, how you can flip the script when the copier vendor comes calling. Because
Exactly.
I want you, the listener, to just imagine a completely mundane moment. You're sitting at your desk, going through your morning emails, drinking your coffee.
Very standard morning.
Right. And someone calls your office, or they send this highly polished email, or maybe they just show up in your lobby with a clipboard,
Yep.
and it's your copier vendor, and they're
Yeah.
offering an upgrade or a renewal or some special loyalty promotion.
Always a promotion.
Always. So, okay, let's unpack this, because that casual just checking in moment is actually a highly engineered trap.
It is. What's fascinating here is the sheer amount of invisible preparation that goes into that single interaction.
Right.
The vendor relies on total data dominance to control the negotiation framework from the very first second. I mean, when they dial your number, they are not guessing.
No, they're not.
They have known this call was coming for months.
Right. While you were busy managing your actual job, they had a countdown ticking away in their CRM.
Exactly. They have your exact contract expiration date marked on a calendar. They've got internal alerts reminding them to engage way before you even realize the deadline is approaching.
Wow.
And it gets deeper. Through remote telemetry, the machine has been reporting your precise print volume back to them.
Just constantly sending data.
Constantly. They know your current equipment's maintenance history. And most crucially, they have your complete pricing history.
Yeah.
They know the exact margins your organization was willing to accept 3, 4, or 5 years ago.
And the person picking up the phone knows absolutely none of this.
Not a clue.
It's like sitting down at a poker table, right? Where the dealer doesn't just know your hand.
Right.
They know exactly how much money is in your wallet.
Yeah.
They know your credit score, and they know the exact plays you made at this very table 3 years ago.
That is a perfect analogy. And that data dominance allows the vendor to totally frame the entire conversation. So if they know your print volume is down, they'll pitch a cost-saving restructuring that actually extends your lease term.
Right, locking you in longer.
Exactly. But if your volume is up, they pitch a fleet optimization upgrade. The buyer is entirely reacting to the vendor's carefully curated narrative.
Well, I've got to stop you there for a second, because surely a company's own legal or procurement department, reviews these contracts before they're signed.
You would think so.
Right. Like, how does a massive, sophisticated corporation let a vendor dictate terms so aggressively?
Well, that is a really common misconception about corporate safety nets.
Okay.
Legal departments, they review contracts for liability, compliance, and standard indemnification.
Just making sure it's legal.
Right. They make sure the contract is binding and doesn't expose the company to lawsuits.
Yeah.
But a corporate lawyer is not going to know if a base volume commitment of, say, 50,000 pages a month is operationally accurate,
Huh.
or if a 1.5 cent monochrome click rate is competitive in the current market. Legal checks the terms, they don't check the business value.
Which naturally brings us to the organizational reality of who is actually answering that vendor's call in the first place and why they're so vulnerable.
Right.
Because copier and MFP leases, they're typically long-term
Oh,
commitments.
yeah, usually 36, 48, or even 60 months.
And in the modern corporate landscape, a lot changes in 3 to 5 years.
A ton changes.
Yeah.
And that timeline creates a perfect storm for institutional memory loss.
Yeah.
Because the person who originally negotiated that copier contract, the one who, you know, fought over the terms, who understood why certain clauses were accepted and others were rejected, they are usually gone.
Right. They've been promoted.
Promoted, retired, transferred to a completely different department, or they just moved on to another company.
So the person sitting at that desk today answering the phone just inherited a ghost.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. They inherited some dusty manila folder in a bottom drawer, or like a vaguely named PDF in a shared drive somewhere.
Right.
They have no benchmark. They have no current market comparison to know if the numbers they're looking at are even competitive today.
No context at all.
And in many cases highlighted in our source material, they don't even have the original master agreement to reference.
Exactly. They're operating in a total vacuum of context.
Yeah.
And the vendor knows this.
Yeah.
Their entire sales strategy is built on the statistical probability that the person they are talking to today has absolutely no idea what happened 5 years ago.
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
The psychological pressure the vendor applies in that moment is just intense.
Oh, it's immense.
I mean, put yourself in the shoes of that buyer. You're busy with actual crises.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a real job to do.
Exactly. And suddenly there's a vendor on the phone tossing around all these buzzwords, warning you that if you don't sign this new agreement by Friday, your current lease goes into this highly punitive month-to-month auto renewal. And let's break down that auto renewal threat, because it is a vital piece of the trap.
Please do.
These contracts often contain extremely narrow cancellation windows.
Like, how narrow?
For instance, you might have to notify the vendor of your intent to cancel no less than 90 days, but no more than 120 days before the end of the term.
That is such a specific window.
Right. And if you miss that specific 30-day window, the contract automatically renews.
Wow. And it doesn't renew at the original rate.
Oh, definitely not.
It renews with all those compounding annual increases baked in, which just forces the buyer to pay an inflated premium just to keep the machine they've honestly already paid off.
Exactly.
So you're confused, you're watching the clock tick down, and you have this paralyzing feeling of simply not knowing what questions you're even supposed to ask.
Right. You don't want to look incompetent.
Yeah, but you are totally out of your depth. So the path of least resistance is to just sign the paper.
And the system is perfectly designed to exploit that exact lack of context. The vendor has engineered an environment where signing the new contract feels like the only logical way to relieve the pressure and just get back to your real work.
Which brings up a really critical structural question. I mean, if the buyer is sitting there, stressed out, underinformed, and pushed against a wall by a ticking clock, surely someone in this multi-layered transaction is there to help them, right?
You'd think so.
Yet the source material details this chilling reality. Absolutely nobody in the room is working for you.
None of them. And this raises an important question about the architecture of B2B transactions as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to assume that because there are multiple professional entities involved in a deal, that equates to built-in checks and balances.
Right.
But in the office equipment industry, entire ecosystems are built that look like support networks, but they are entirely structured to protect the seller's margins.
Wow.
And it's not some malicious conspiracy either. It is just a perfectly tuned cold business machine operating through structural optimization.
Okay, let's pull that apart. Because you have the vendor rep, who is the face of the operation.
Right.
They drop off donuts. They ask about your kids. They really seem like a partner.
Very friendly.
But their income, their commissions, their whole livelihood depend entirely on maximizing the profitability of the contract they get you to sign.
Exactly.
So the friendliness is really just a smokescreen for the fact that they're definitively not your advocate.
Right. And then you have the leasing company.
Okay.
Buyers often view the leasing company as a neutral third-party financial institution.
Like a bank.
Exactly.
Huh.
But the reality is the leasing company's true relationship is with the vendor, who brings them millions of dollars in financing business.
Oh, that makes sense.
So to protect that relationship, leasing agreements use what is called a hell or high water clause.
Okay, that sounds ominous. What does a hell or high water clause actually look like in practice?
Well, it means the buyer is legally obligated to keep paying the lease, come hell or high water. Literally. Even if the copier catches fire, breaks down daily, or the vendor completely goes out of business and stops servicing the machine entirely.
Wait, you still have to pay.
You still have to pay. The leasing company insulates itself entirely from the equipment's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Their allegiance is to the paper, just ensuring they get paid every single month, which leaves the buyer holding all the operational risk.
That is wild. And I guess the service department operates similarly.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you feel like the repair tech who comes out and fixes the paper jam is the one honest person in the mix.
Right.
But the service department as an entity is just a massive profit center.
Mm-hmm.
The service contract is built on projected margins. So their goal is to collect your monthly maintenance fee while performing the absolute minimum number of physical service calls required to keep you from canceling.
Exactly. And finally, you have the billing office.
Yeah.
Their mandate is to enforce the terms of the contract you signed, capitalizing on every single buried fee.
Yeah.
So when you look at the entire landscape, the rep, the leasing arm, the service tier, the billing department, every single entity benefits directly from your lack of an advocate.
That isolation is terrifying. You're the sole target in a transaction where everyone else is playing on the opposite team.
Yep.
And the financial damage of that isolation is just staggering. Looking at the data, the average buyer is bleeding cash through what we could really call death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, the aha moment here is that the immense bloat in these contracts is rarely a single glaring overcharge.
Right. It's not one big line item.
No, it is microaggressions. It's a 3% to 5% annual compounding price hike just hidden on page 6.
Oh, man.
Or a $50 phantom networking fee that never gets explained.
Right.
A mandatory property tax administration fee. A required insurance surcharge because you didn't submit a specific waiver within 14 days of delivery.
It's all designed to be just small enough that the accounts payable department pays it without flagging it to leadership. Exactly. But over a 60-month lease, those thousand cuts just bleed an organization dry.
They really do.
So how do you introduce an advocate into this scenario? Because obviously you cannot just accept being the fuel for someone else's profit engine.
No, you can't.
Huh.
And navigating away from this trap requires introducing a disruptive element.
Okay.
An entity whose incentives are actually aligned with the buyer,
yeah.
Which effectively strips away the vendor's information advantage.
Well, when looking at the source material on how to combat this, one specific methodology kept popping up, a firm called Copier Consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And what struck me in the research wasn't just their name, but their completely inverted business model.
Right.
Because they have a 30-year track record of doing something almost no one else in this ecosystem does, which is being exclusively on the buyer side.
Which is where?
Super rare. They don't sell printers. They don't finance leases. They don't fix paper jams. They just level the playing field.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the statistics tied to their intervention are highly revealing. Every single organization that has ever worked with Copier Consulting has saved money.
That's incredible. Every single one.
That 100% success rate is statistically significant because it proves that the bloat in these contracts is not an exception. It is the industry rule.
Wow.
The average savings across their clients is 38%.
38%.
And the highest recorded savings was 58%.
Let's just do the math on that 38% average for a second.
Oh, well.
If your organization is paying, say, a $10,000 a month invoice, the person who inherited that file assumes that is just the standard cost of doing business.
Right. They don't question it.
They have absolutely no idea that $3,800 of that is pure engineered profit margin built entirely on their own blind spots.
Yep.
And over a 5-year term, that is nearly $250,000.
It's massive. For mid-sized to large organizations, that 38% represents entire employee salaries.
Oh, absolutely.
It represents funding for critical software infrastructure. It is basically operational runway being quietly siphoned off. And this is why the universal reaction from Copier Consulting's clients is always, I did not know what I did not know.
Yeah, how could you?
Exactly. You cannot negotiate effectively if you don't even know which variables are actually on the table.
So what does this all mean in practice? Like, how do they actually dismantle the vendor's playbook?
Well, the sources point to a very tangible solution Copier Consulting developed called RFP 70 plus Bell.
Okay.
This tool features over 70 questions the vendor is hoping you never ask.
70. Wow.
Yeah, because if you put a standard copier contract in front of a smart buyer, they might think of maybe 5 things to check.
Right. Price, page limit.
Exactly. Yeah. Service response time, lease duration, and maybe termination fees.
Sure.
But that leaves 65 massive blind spots.
And each of those 65 blind spots basically represents a revenue stream for the vendor, right?
Yeah.
And a liability for the buyer.
Exactly. Let's explore how RFP 70 Plus addresses them. Take overage reconciliations, for example.
Okay. What is that?
Well, the standard buyer assumes if they go over their print limit 1 month, They just pay a small per-page penalty fee.
Yeah, that seems standard.
But the reality buried in the contract is much darker.
Oh, of course it is.
Precisely. The contract often allows the vendor to permanently reset your baseline volume to that new, higher level for the rest of the entire lease.
Wait, permanently? Even if it was just a one-time thing?
Even if it was just a one-time seasonal spike. You are now paying a higher monthly minimum forever.
That is insane.
But a tool like RFP 70 Plus identifies that clause and forces the vendor to remove the baseline reset provision before the deal is even signed.
See, that is brilliant. What about end-of-term traps? Because you think you just hand the machine back when you're done, right?
Oh, the return freight trap is a classic blind spot.
How does that work?
The contract might state the buyer is responsible for returning the equipment to a designated facility.
Okay.
And when the lease ends, the leasing company conveniently designates a warehouse clear across the country.
You have got to be kidding me.
I'm not. You are suddenly on the hook for custom crating, insuring, and shipping a 500-pound machine.
Right.
Which can cost thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And then the vendor graciously offers to waive that headache if you just sign a new 5-year lease with them.
It is borderline extortion.
It really is.
And it's all completely legal just because the buyer didn't ask the right questions 60 months earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And RFP 70 Plus codifies all these vulnerabilities. It demands transparency on interim rent, performance guarantees, and exact downtime metrics before a replacement is mandated.
Right.
By asking these 70 plus questions, the independent advocate instantly neutralizes the vendor's data dominance.
I mean, it completely transforms the buyer from a passive participant in a rigged system into an empowered entity.
Absolutely.
Because the vendor's entire playbook relies on the buyer being isolated and under time pressure.
Yep.
But when you introduce an independent expert armed with a framework like RFP 70 Plus, the vendor's psychological leverage just evaporates.
It does.
And the relief that must bring to a buyer is immense. Just imagine sitting at your desk, the clock is ticking, the vendor is pushing you for a signature, and instead of sweating and guessing, you just hand the file to a vendor-neutral subject matter expert and say, you handle this.
That sounds pretty good, right?
It sounds amazing. The financial weight lifted off the company's bottom line is matched only by the psychological weight lifted off the employee. Suddenly, the dealer at the poker table realizes you brought your own dealer and they brought a rule book.
That's it, exactly. It represents a fundamental shift in how organizations must approach operational procurement, moving from defensive reacting to proactive control.
Man. Well, to summarize this incredible journey into the shadows of office hardware, we started with that mundane phone call.
We did.
We uncovered the vendor's hidden calendar, their telemetry, and their absolute data dominance. We explored the inherited blind spots and the very real psychological pressure of institutional memory loss. We mapped out the hell or high water ecosystem where absolutely nobody is working for you and how that leads to the 38% bloat through 1,000 cuts.
Right.
And finally, we looked at how to fight back by utilizing an independent advocate and a tool like RFP 70 Plus in college.
Because the mechanics of this industry really rely entirely on your complacency.
Yeah. So to you, the listener, if you are the one staring down the barrel of that friendly vendor call next week, or if your contract is coming up, or even if you're just looking at an equipment invoice that feels fundamentally off to it.
Yeah.
You just remember, you don't have to play their game.
You really don't.
You do not have to be the fuel for their profit engine.
Right.
Head over to copierconsultingllc.com. Let the experts ask the 70 questions the vendor is terrified of.
And before we wrap up, consider this broader implication.
Okay.
We have spent this entire time dissecting the deliberate opacity, the exploitation of institutional memory loss, and the heavily stacked information asymmetry in something as seemingly mundane as the office copier. But if an ecosystem this sophisticated, this perfectly optimized to extract margin, exists just for the printer down the hallway, what other routine multi-year contracts are hiding in your organization's filing cabinets right now?
Oh, man, that is a scary thought.
Right. What other mundane services are quietly draining 38% of your budget simply because the original negotiator retired 3 years ago?
A silent budget killer, hiding in plain sight. Keep your eyes open out there, folks.